churches that are in your same locality as the same family. That is better, but still not the best. Then we need to enlarge our vision to realize that the whole world and every Christian under this sky is part of the family. So at no point must we seek to encourage others to destroy our brethren. At no point must we join in like the Edomites. Why not? For we will reap what we sow. When we run another person down, we will be run down. When we encourage others to destroy others, others will be encouraged to destroy us. Give mercy, then you receive mercy. We reap what we sow. God is not mocked. When we sow in the flesh, we reap in the flesh. When we sow in the spirit, we reap in the spirit. The basic text and principle involved is in verse 15. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done it, it shall be done for you. In other words, God is saying, you're going to reap what you sow. Obadiah gave a prophecy of judgment to the Edomites, saying, because you have done all these things, others are going to do it back to you. So they were very violent to the Israelites, to Jacob's descendants. Then it says here in verse 12, you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah. Notice that when they were being destroyed, they were saying, good, good, good. Now, if you are a Christian and you hear some bad things happening to other Christians, maybe it happens to them because of genuine mistake. Remember, all these things that happened to the Israelites happened because they deserve it themselves. They disobeyed God, they turned away from God, and they entered the permissive will, they entered something out of God's will, and destruction came on Jerusalem. But don't be among those who say, good, 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 hallelujah. I mean, the other guy who say hallelujah is getting it. You here saying hallelujah. They rejoice at the fall of their brother. And God remember that. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in truth. Love rejoices in the right things. Obadiah in verse, looking on, these are some of the things that they actually did. In verse 13, says, you should not have entered the gate of my people. Not only did they rejoice, they entered the gate of God's people. In the day of the calamity, while they are down and out, or Jerusalem was down and out, the Edomites came, and it says, indeed you should not have gazed at their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance. When they are down and out, they came and robbed them some more. It would be just like the good Samaritan story with a slight change. One day there was a man walking along, a merchant, and he was robbed by robbers, but he got still a few other things left, maybe one or two pieces of clothing. Then comes the bad Samaritan, sees him, takes the rest of his clothing, say goodbye. That is what the Edomites were like. While they were down and out, others were robbing, they came in and take the rest. Instead of being the good Samaritan, come and help, put them on a donkey, and help nurse the wounds. We must be a bridge builder. We must be a peacemaker. We must be people who reach out in love, not people who mock. So when you hear of different parts of the body suffering, never rejoice. Get on your knees and pray. The world will laugh. The world will sneer. The world will mock. But don't join that crowd. Join those who weep. Join those who weep with those who weep. Because if any part of the body of Christ anywhere on the world suffers, Jesus suffers. If Jesus suffers, we feel it too. So we must learn this concept of universal family. So that we could love with those who need love. We could weep with those who weep. Then we could rejoice with those who are rejoicing because of the blessings of God. We need to feel that. And we need to mature into that in the last days. Now, in verse 14, here are some more wicked things they did. As if that's not enough, they did some more things. Verse 14. You should not have stood at a crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped. While some, it would be just like a refugee running out. Just escaped by the skin of his teeth from all the destruction. And then as they're coming, and there you are standing on the road, and the first thing the refugee looks to you is for help, and you say, hey, you just came from there. Israelite, choo! They killed them. And those who were not killed, who were captured, in verse 14, it says, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remain in a day of distress. In other words, there are a few others who are left over, stragglers, who survived the destruction in Jerusalem. They catch them and they deliver to the captives. These were the evil things they did. And God took note of that. So there is always a day when we pay for the deeds in our life, our actions, good or bad. It does not wait necessarily until the judgment day. Of course, at the judgment day, believing in Jesus is the only key to salvation. But even before the judgment day, on this planet Earth, there are cycles of events that God permits as cycles, judgmental cycles of reaping what they sow. It's an awesome thought. So remember, every word you say, every action you do, every thought you think, every desire in your heart, every day you're sowing thousands of seeds for your future. The moment you woke up, you start sowing seeds. You can't help it. God makes us a plant. We are also called plants in the Bible. The moment you're awake and conscious of your actions, you're sowing seeds. In your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds. Your words that come out from your mouth, everything are seeds that you constantly sow. One day you will reap. If you have been sowing seeds of love and mercy and forgiveness and blessing, you will reap an abundance. If people will realize that whether they like it or not, it is the seed coming. Everything that comes out of your life through action, through thought, through words, is a seed. So it's not a question of trying to sow. We are already automatically sowing. We just got to watch what's coming forth. We are plants. They keep producing. And we are sowing words here, words there. Thoughts here, thoughts there. And just about 2 weeks back, I saw a dear, precious Christian. He's about 56 years old. He sat in the office and I sat with him. My heart went out to him because he had an accident, and I went to see him in the hospital, and after that he was discharged, and sometime later he still came to the office to see me. And I sat there, and I respect and I love elderly people, and so he sat there and shared with me his life. And he is a successful businessman, very successful to a certain extent. But he sat there and he told me, he held his hand up, which was still in bandages, and he said, "Why are all these things happening?" Now, he had success to a certain extent, but he has a lot of evil or disasters that happened in his life. And he held his hand up, but the fingers were all gone. And he says, "I worked hard all my life. I'm old now. I'm 56 years old." He says, I should be enjoying the fruit of my labors. Why did this thing happen to me? And I don't have any fingers at an old age. And why do all those things happen in my life?" And he's a strong man, and you know strong men seldom cry. And when he said that, he wept. And he cried. And I can always remember this word as he cried. He said, "I don't know why it must happen to me like that. Why must life be like that?" When he said that, for some reason I started to think about my own life. And I said, I started to think, and I didn't say anything, but it just flashed. And I began to think about all the mercy of God when I didn't know Him and He protected. And after I know Him and so many things. And I said, "Lord, even though I did not really know You, I never go through so much suffering like Him. I mean, there is persecution, but His is a natural kind of suffering. It's different from suffering for Jesus. I mean, suffering for Jesus, there is an inner strength. But natural suffering without not suffering for Jesus is something else. It's something else. At least you suffer for Jesus, there's joy knowing that you got reward in heaven and you got strength by the grace of God down here. But I've never been to those kind of things that happen, and this happened and that happened, and this case take place and all this." And I literally wanted to cry with him. And all I could do was sing. And then he said he learned one thing when he was on the hospital bed. He learned to forgive. Because when we started talking, we began to talk about life. My heart goes out to him. I love that man. And I prayed. And I know something starts changing. And I encouraged him. I said, "You're still not too old. Life is still ahead." I said, "If all life has to offer is only physical life, then of course it is a misery in your state. But because life offers something else, and this life is only to live for Jesus, and in the other life everything is perfect." I say, "Right now, you still got many more years to live. If you live to 70, you got about 20 years. If you live to 80, you got about 30 years. I say, forget the past. Look to the future. I mean, there's no point for the rest of your life mourning. There's no point. Say, forget it. Leave it behind. Pick yourself fresh. Start off again." But that man has found something. He's found his ministry. He's found the purpose in life. And every one of us need to discover that. But after I went back and counseling that day, the thoughts were still on my mind. And I went for a walk, it was still in my mind. And I thought about the goodness of God. All His mercy that is protected. I have seen the goodness of God. I don't deserve them, but I know it was His gift. His protection. Time after time. And I said, God, I am not worthy of Your goodness. I know it's Jesus who did it. But Lord, I know that You have preserved me from evil. Then I could hear the voice of the Spirit speaking and say, yes. These were the words He said. Yes. Saying, but do you know that each man reaps what he sows? Let's begin to converse with the Holy Spirit and